Part 6, Chapter 10. He had to get to Turl before the monster took off and blasted the village. The sun was arcing up, perilously close to the deadline. Noon. Johnny ran uphill on the trail, his heart overworked. Bushes whipped by, stones rolled under his pounding feet. It had been a wild night and a hard-worked morning. The clan chief had sent runners and riders thundering across the highlands to summon other chiefs. They came from far glens and hidden caves of the mountains, bearded, kilted, cautious and suspicious, enemies, many of them, one to another. The chiefs of the MacDougalls, Glencannons, Campbells, and many others had come. Even the chief of the Argyles, a subdued English lord from a group in the lower hills, had come. The king of a tiny Norse colony on the east coast had strode in late. It was after midnight when Johnny could talk to them all. He leveled with them. He explained that Turl had personal plans of his own, independent of the company, and was using his power to further his own ambitions. He told them that Turl conceived himself to be using Johnny, and through Johnny, men, to carry out his project, and that quite possibly Turl would slaughter the lot of them when he had finished with them. Johnny began to realize, as he spoke to the intent faces around the flickering council fire, that he must be dealing with some Scot love of guile. For when he told them he had an outside chance of turning the tables and using Turl, only then did the chiefs begin to nod and smile and hope. But when he told them about Chrissy, held as a hostage against his good behavior, and that part of his own plan was to rescue her, he had them. A streak of romanticism, which had survived all their defeats and humblings, welled up in them. While they could agree to a long-shot objective with their minds, they rose to the rescue of Chrissy with their hearts. What did she look like? Black eyes and corn silk hair? How was she formed? Beautiful and comely. How did she feel? Crushed with despair, hardly daring to hope for rescue. They were angered by the collar, disgusted with the leash, violent about the cage. They shook their chiefly weapons in the flashing firelight and made speeches and quoted legends. Beacon fires had been set flaming in the hills, their chiefs signaling a gathering of the clans. They sent their warlike messages until the dawn. A meadow was the assigned meeting place, and by noon, the clans would be there. Questions and introductions and ceremony had detained Johnny until after 11 of the morning, and he looked up with a shock to see that he had very little time indeed to get to the plane and stop Turl from committing a folly that would ruin the future.